If you are a news addict like I am, hopefully you may have seen something mentioned about June the 6th. Today is the 82nd anniversary of Operation Overlord, otherwise known as D-Day. On June the 6th, 1944, the Allies launched the largest amphibious invasion in military history. It was a massive land, sea, and air invasion. On the first day alone, over 160,000 Allied troops crossed the English Channel using over 7,000 naval vessels. In addition to the massive naval bombardment which accompanied those 160,000 troops to try to protect them, over 1,200 planes and gliders were used to drop 22,000 paratroopers behind enemy into enemy territory. And in addition to that, over 3,600 heavy bombers attacked 26 key coastal artillery batteries. It was massive. And the result? By evening, the Allied forces had secured all five beaches of the Normandy coast. But of course, this had come with a great loss. Over 10,000 troops were killed on just that one day. The goal, of course, was to liberate Europe, Western Europe in particular, from the bondage and the horrors of Nazi occupation. And in 11 months, those troops, not only that 160,000, but an additional 850,000 had crossed the English Channel, and they began this process of liberation. In 11 months, would have been May of 1945, the war had ended, and freedom had been restored, especially to those in the Western Europe. Eastern Europe were liberated by the Soviets, which instead of Nazi control became communist control, so they had a different lord and master for over 45 years until the Soviet Union fell in 1991. This desire to rule over others by force isn't really anything new. I mean, it's the history of man. When you think about it, you just can't find a period of time where we don't have one group of people trying to lord over another group by force, a way of life. Also, the quest for freedom isn't new either, because as long as you have these forces of evil trying to oppress people, you also have people trying to escape that. So this quest for freedom isn't new. The Bible has a lot to say about freedom and slavery and bondage. And of all people, we Christians need to pay attention to this. We need to take note of this. Let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, let's begin in verse 31. Jesus Christ reveals something to us here very important about freedom and slavery. And he says here in verse 31, Jesus said to those, I'm reading from the New King James, by the way. He says, he says this to those Jews who believed him. Now, these are Jews that believed Jesus. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him. He says, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? They didn't understand the kind of freedom he was talking about. He wasn't talking about a physical bondage. Jesus answered them. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. This is the kind of freedom, the spiritual freedom Jesus Christ was talking about. The King James Version refers to that as a servant of sin. It has a very similar interpretation, very similar meaning. Let's go over to Psalm 119. Let's define this truth. The truth that Jesus Christ is talking about, what is that truth? Is it just the absence of a non-truth, a lie? What is that truth that Jesus Christ is referring to? Because he's talking about the slavery of sin. What is this truth he's talking about? And we see this in defined pretty well here in Psalms 119 in verse 100. And it's a long time to get to that in a phone. Got to scroll up in verse 151. Psalm 119, verse 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. So here we see a definition of truth. God's commandments are truth. Let's go now to Exodus 20, and we see something added here that's pretty important for us to take note. Exodus 20, and in verse 2, God is about to introduce the Ten Commandments as he enters into a covenant relationship with Israel. He's about to introduce the Ten Commandments, and he says something about himself here that's very important. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, that had just happened 7 weeks or so prior to this, so it was very familiar in his mind, but he's not just speaking to them. Is he not also speaking to everybody after that? This is permanent. This is a part of the Bible we read today. We live by every word of God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God could have used any number of ways to introduce himself. He could have said, I am the Lord your God who created you and all things and the earth and the universe and all the stars. I mean, all that's true. But he didn't. He uses this example. I brought you out of bondage. And then he begins to tell us all of these commandments, because these are the commandments that if we break, we will be in bondage. So the way for freedom is the keeping of these commandments, and it's a part of the covenant, the relationship that God established with Israel. And we just observe Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is given, and now we have the Holy Spirit in us and the law being written, these commandments being written in our hearts. Let's go over one more scripture to James 2. We can shed a little more light on this law that we're talking about. The absence of it or the breaking of it leads to bondage. What do we call this law besides truth? In James chapter 2 and in verse 10, we read, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumbles at one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you commit adultery, but you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by what? The law of liberty. The commandments are the law of liberty. And when you think about it, you think about the commandments as two great commandments, love towards God and love towards our fellow man. Isn't that what Christ said? On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. It's kind of hard to be at war with your neighbor. If you love your neighbor as yourself, how are you going to be at war and do harm to your neighbor if you're loving your neighbor? You'd be harming yourself, don't you think? I mean, if we love our neighbors as ourselves, how could a nation want to destroy another nation that it hates if you just kept this commandment? You know, to love your neighbor as yourself. We don't hate ourselves. So this is a law of liberty. The cost of freedom in World War II was very high. Just on that one day, 10,000 Allied soldiers were killed, and many more German soldiers were killed. The cost in terms of human life throughout the war was over 60 million people. And that's just one war. The war that's coming is going to be far worse. In fact, Jesus Christ says, if he didn't return, nobody would survive it. This is how much bondage there is from violating that law of liberty. So Paul gives us some admonishment in 2 Timothy. Let's read that, 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, I'm still reading from New King James. He says, you therefore, in verse 1, we're beginning in verse 1, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So, you know, this is not just being written for elders. I mean, this is something we in the church, we're to be kings and priests. We should be able to teach this to our families, to people that inquire of us, and also teach even by our example, how we live our lives. You know, am I known as a truthful, honest person? What others say to me, he's a good man. He's an honest man. And they should know that by our conduct and our behavior. Continuing on, verse 3, it says, you must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's not easy to be a Christian always, is it? I mean, sometimes it's just not easy. The trials, the temptations, very difficult sometimes to get through. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Did you ever think of yourself being enlisted as a soldier? As a soldier of Jesus Christ? Well, we are. We are, and we have to do our duty. It is, therefore, our duty to live by this truth and to teach and proclaim this truth, which we do. We try to do that, don't we, through our work that we support. And it is this truth to all mankind that will eventually set all mankind free. Yes, the cost of freedom was very high. The cost for our freedom can't be compared. We talked about this at Passover time. There's no comparison to the fact that God, in the form of Jesus Christ, came to earth and sacrificed himself that we could be free from this bondage, this slavery. I will close now with an excerpt from a speech given by, I think, one of the great leaders of World War II, one of the great orators of World War II. Amazing individual, if you've ever read any of his writings, would be Sir Winston Churchill. And he gave this speech at his childhood boarding school in 1941 while the Battle of Britain was raging on. And in the speech, he says this. He said, never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. And we have an enemy that is apparently overwhelming at times. Who can defeat this enemy? God can defeat this enemy. And we have his Holy Spirit. And so we have the tools to defeat this enemy. We must never give in. Those who did the fighting on D-Day and after to liberate Europe with that terrible war, they deserve all the honor we could bestow upon them. Most of them are gone now. I think only about 1,000 or less of that 160,000 remain alive. It would be a terrible thing, and we should honor them, and it would be a terrible thing not to, and it would be even worse not to remember what they did and not to learn valuable lessons from it. So, brethren, let us be about living and teaching this truth. This truth that Jesus Christ said is the opposite of slavery. This truth that we love. Let's teach it, let's live it. That truly will set us free. So those are some thoughts for you all, for us to consider on this anniversary of D-Day.